And good afternoon, and welcome to Angel Answers. I'm your host, Amy Toy. I have an awesome guest today. Her name is Lisa Campion, and she has been a professional psychic for over 20 years and uses a combination of intuition, energy healing, and therapeutic techniques to help you understand yourself at a deeper and deeper level. Her background includes training in psychosynthesis and psychosynthesis, okay, thank you. Yeah, I can't talk today. And system-centered therapy, and that's a mindfulness technique, full-spectrum healing, Reiki, and other vibrational healing techniques. And Lisa believes her greatest gift as a healer is to really see people at a soul level. Spending an hour talking with her can help you with a wonderful gift of seeing you at a soul level, according to Lisa. She will spend a lot of time of the session talking to you about what is great about you, helping you connect to your soul and your life's purpose. Of course, tackling whatever issues are on your mind as well during her session with you. She describes herself as a practical psychic and hopes that you will leave her session with some useful ideas and tools to help you shift your life. Welcome, Lisa. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. This is great. Today we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things. But first of all, I hope I covered everything that you do in that introduction. It feels like you really, you've really trained in a lot of techniques.
Yeah. There's one thing in there that I do that's kind of interesting that's not in there, and that is that I am the dean of students and a lead teacher in an energy medicine school.
Oh, so, awesome!
Yeah, our energy medicine school is called the Rees Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, and it's the first energy medicine school licensed by the state of Massachusetts to teach energy medicine. And it's a 3-year program, so we train healers to do energy medicine over the course of 3 years, and we're sort of an up and coming program. People come from all over the country now, all over the world, actually, to study energy medicine at our school. So that's another thing that I do.
You're really into everything, but that's great.
Yeah.
because with the work that a lot of us do, we need to be very versatile, I believe.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You definitely need to do that. So, Lisa, today we're going to talk a little bit about empaths. You have a program. So why don't you describe to us what an empath is and how you discovered you were one and so on and so forth? Because I get a lot of calls like this. People are empathic and they don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of a big problem. And it creates a lot of suffering and pain in people before they really understand what it is. And I've been working with empaths for about 10 years now, and I feel really called to do this work because it's so empowering to people. So in general, like, you know, there's a lot we can talk about. Empaths is, like, incredibly sensitive, and, you know, usually they feel other people's feelings as if they're their own feelings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they have, like, they have, like, this, the way I often describe it, and I think of empathy as, like, kind of like a whole personality trait, almost like empaths are like their own species of humanity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of radically different from non-empaths in a lot of really profound ways. And sometimes I begin explaining it by talking about the energy field, because I'm an energy healer and I teach in an energy medicine school and I'm a psychic and I see people's energy. It makes sense to me to see it that way. But if you have an energy field, an aura, that's this sort of life force energy that extends beyond your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a non-empathic person has a really solid boundary layer to that energy field. So they walk through the world sort of like you can imagine them like in a big spacesuit, you know? So you take that person, you put them in the mall or at Walmart or in the movie theater someplace, and they're fine. They don't feel anything. They're in this big, giant spacesuit. And then you take an empath who has a much bigger energy field, so it's more expanded, and the outer edge of their energy field is really porous and spongy and absorbent. So instead of a really solid layer, they've got a big sponge. They're walking around in a big sponge instead of the spacesuit. So you take that person and you put them in Walmart, and what happens? You know?
You're absorbing.
You absorb all of that energy, all of that. You know, and a place like Walmart has sort of my example, because everyone's all the empaths I know, you know, 20 minutes into Walmart, just hit the wall and, you know, have and want to curl up in a ball somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that all that energy, like, it's very chaotic. I mean, Walmart's not really a negative place, but it's not really like a positive place. It's just filled with this chaotic, and I'm pretty sure they don't go into Walmart and sage that thing out very often, you know, so it gets kind of full with, like, this, you know, leftover people's energy, and that creates a lot of problems for empaths. So it creates problems. Fatigue is a big problem for empaths. So you think about, you know, the outer edge of your energy field is a container, so it's designed like any container, like the shell of an egg, for example, is a great example. So the shell of an egg keeps the gushy stuff of the egg on the inside and all together, and it keeps the world on the outside. So we don't have that. Empaths have the spongy thing. So through the spongy material, there's a lot of energy loss. Like, you're losing energy all the time. So fatigue is a big problem. Depression, anxiety, even addictions are big problems that empaths face until they learn how to manage their sensitivity. Now, the good news is that I think there's a lot of gifts that come with being an empath. And I get really excited about training and helping and teaching empaths transform this feeling of, like, oh my God, it's this curse, it's this burden. Like, why have this crazy, you know, thing that's such a pain, right? And with a little bit of training and some, you know, some skills and some information, you can go to really understanding that thing you think is a curse is really a gift. And that, I like to think of it as the gift of empathy. And if you take that same model of the absorbent, spongy thing, and you understand that empaths across the board, never met one where this wasn't true, are designed to be healers, helpers, caretakers, service providers, and then all of a sudden it makes sense, because that level of sensitivity becomes an incredible diagnostic tool,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you can use that sensitivity for a healer to feel what somebody else is feeling in their emotional life, and also to actually feel what they're feeling in their body, which is called physical empathy. And any good massage therapist or body worker has that ability to put their hands on somebody and feel in their body what that person's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, well, it makes sense about why you would have that. It's like the, you know, X-ray vision, or it's like the doctor using an X-ray or an MRI to do a diagnostic. So those skills, which are so painful in Walmart if you're not shielded properly, are all of a sudden an amazing gift if you know that you're meant to do some kind of healing, helping, serving, caretaking jobs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I like you. I'm looking at your website, and you have like a checklist of people. Here's a checklist to see if you're an empath, and then you go through the different things. And, you know, of course, I know. I'm like, yes, yes, yes to all of them. You know, and some people don't realize that they are empathic and they're picking up other people's stuff. You're right. I just went to Walmart the other day, and I make sure I go when it's really not busy.
Yeah.
Get the heck in and get the heck out.
I know. And do you forget what you came in for halfway through?
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, actually, I did. I had to go. I love it. It's like, oh, my God, these people are coming at you like, get me out of here.
I know. Yeah, well, that what happens when that sponge gets full. So if you go back to the sponge analogy, right? So the sponge gets full, and then you go into something that I call empathic overload, you know?
Mm.
And empathic overload, you can't remember what you came there for. You're spacey. You get sort of dissociated and disconnect out of your body. And then you get sort of cranky, tired, you know, all that kind of, like, leftover effect. Like, you get home and you have to go lie on the couch, or you have to take a nap, or, you know, you just stare at the wall for a few minutes before you can, you know, you feel like yourself again. So understanding, you know, I think the more sensitive you are, you know, people are really, really super empathic. I kind of sometimes rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, you know. And the real, like, 8, 9, 10s get even housebound. You know, they get kind of afraid. They have a hard time leaving their house, or they don't like to be out in public, or they go in the woods, you know, but they don't like the mall. they prefer animals, children, small children in nature to, you know, the regular world.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be problematic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And so here's the catch-22 about it is that if you think that all empaths are meant to be healers and helping people, and yet their sensitivity sort of cripples them, you know, like, for example, I was working with this woman, she was one of my Reiki students, and she's a very, very talented energy healer, and she's really drawn to hospice work, God bless her, like, hardest work I think there is for healers, you know, she goes in, she helps people that are dying, she got really well trained by a hospice organization, and she's fabulous at it, and she called me, you know, like a year ago, and she said, Lisa, I think I love my hospice job, but I think I'm going to have to quit because I can't take it. Like, I do a case, and I'm with the family for a week or two, and then, you know, all the grief in the hospital and the suffering, and she said, I can't handle it. And she said, I'm on the couch for a week or two afterwards just recovering, and she's like, I have kids. I have a husband. I can't be putting myself out of commission by doing this. And I think that that's a real problem for a lot of people that are empaths. They're drawn into service, they want to help, and yet putting, going there and doing that stuff puts them in the line of fire, if you will.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple different, there's places where it's challenging. You talk about hospital, nursing homes, police station, courthouses, jails, malls, airports. You talk about all those places where it's very crowded. I agree with that. I went out today with a friend, and we had lunch, and I had to take a nap when I got home. I was so tired.
Yeah, you just
get drained. And then you think, is something wrong with you? Am I anemic? You're like, no, I took a blood sample. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good example. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of crazy. So what I did was I worked with her, and I mean, the good news is that there are some really simple things you can do to help. So when I work with people, I do kind of, there's two tracks that we have to work on, two things we have to handle. And the first one is pretty easy, and it brings kind of like immediate relief, you know, and that is working with the energy field. So I teach people how, by doing a guided meditation using breath and visualization to ground themselves, to come back in the body and get more grounded, to clear the energy they picked up, you know, so if the sponge is full, you got to wring out the sponge.
Right.
And then work on shielding themselves more so they strengthen that outer edge of their energy field into something that's less porous and more strong. And once you do that, and it's simple, like I have like a 6-minute guided meditation, a 12-minute guided meditation you can do. Once you learn how to do that, and it takes practice, so you have to do it frequently to change, like, you know, like change your habit of how you hold your energy. Then all of a sudden, being in the world is not so problematic, you know. So I worked with her on that. She got immediate relief from doing that stuff. And then that's sort of like a daily practice that you do. And then we had to work a little bit more deeply, sort of some counseling, psychological work around boundaries, around relationships with people, you know, because empaths have difficulties in relationships. They have problems saying no. They have trouble with their boundaries. They can get kind of pushed over, rolled by people with stronger personalities. And they often attract what we, you know, people love to talk about, energy vampires, energy suckers. And empaths have a tendency to, like, be a energy vampire magnet, you know. And what I mean by that is, if you've never heard that term, energy vampire, what I mean is all those needy, sucky people who want a piece of you, and they come because you're so kind. I mean, empaths are kind, big, generous hearts. We love helping people. We're super compassionate, you know. So we feel people's pain, and then if somebody's like, oh, my God, I'm in so much pain, will you help me? How do you say no?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some work to be done there around setting boundaries, saying no. I think empaths in general aren't very good at taking care of themselves. They tend to put other people's needs in front of their own. So, you know, sometimes they need a little schooling on how to put themselves first. This is, you know, kind of a more psychological angle at it. But once you, and I find those two-pronged, that two-pronged approach is really super effective at helping empaths strengthen themselves. And then from that place of being stronger, they're really able to step into their life purpose in a powerful way, which is so good to see. Like, I felt like the world would have been a much, you know, the world would have been robbed of this wonderful woman doing her hospice work if she hadn't been able to get this part of her together. She was going to quit.
Wow.
You know, and that's sad. You know, I think sometimes about all of those people, all those empaths that are out, could be out there saving the world, because that's what we're here for, who aren't doing it because they can't manage their empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like, I'm like, I'm going to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fix that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like about the boundaries, because that's true. You know, it's an ongoing process with me too. Boundaries are very important, and I've done shows on boundaries, you know, because we're just like, our hearts bleed for people. We just don't know how to say no, or we don't take care of ourselves. So that's very important. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So what are some other things that people can do? I mean, so they discover they're an empath. I mean, the meditation and everything. You have some different techniques, though. You want to talk about clearing the energy field and so on. There's some basics on your website that I haven't talked about in a long time, so you want to hit on those things a little
bit? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's some really good basic stuff that you can do, and I think it's all great. So, and depending on what you like, you know, everybody can kind of find something that works for them, but if you think about those three things that you got to do, grounding, clearing, and protecting, they often can sort of go together. So some empaths really like find huge relief in being outside and in nature. So taking a walk in the woods, really breathing, is both grounding and clearing, you know. Even going outside, sitting on the ground, hugging a tree, you know, that kind of thing can be really effective. I think for people that really need to work on grounding, I sometimes will tell them to go sit on a rock.
You know, oh, really?
Rock. Yeah. You know, like, you can drain your car battery by putting it on cement for too long.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You can actually ground yourself by sitting on a rock and allowing sort of the natural rock, talk about grounded, right? It's more grounded than a rock, to work on you that way. I also really like water, so bathing in water, taking baths, taking showers in the ocean, in the lake, wherever you can get in some water, is super clearing to the energy field. And lots of times people will tell me, yeah, I go home and take a shower, and I feel better. I go home and get in the tub, and if you're in the tub, put some salt in it, you know, sea salt, Epsom salt, doesn't matter what kind, table salt, doesn't matter. But salt is also really good. And then there's things like sage and incense, like aromatic smoke also can work. So saging yourself really works.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I find, this is a little interesting empath factoid, I find that oftentimes, not often, but frequently, empaths end up smoking. And I noticed that tobacco smoke is a sacred herb, you know, aromatic herb, just like sage. And when you take a drag on a cigarette, you take a huge breath. So breathing is a very, you get in your body, and then you blow the sacred smoke, like sage, through your energy field.
Wow.
Right?
I don't smoke, so I'm asthmatic, so it's not good.
And I'm not advocating that as a you know, cure for this, but I just think, oh, wow. And then sometimes, you know, when I teach people other ways to do that, they quit smoking. They can quit smoking.
Interesting.
Right?
Cool.
So there's also lots of things. I think prayer and meditation is particularly helpful. So that works for some people. Not everybody, you know, likes that. Also exercise, you know, yoga, tai chi, any kind of exercise will also do those things. So then there's lots of other things you can do in terms of, you like crystals or gemstones. People will carry them in their pockets, you know, the grounding ones. And you want kind of the darker colored ones for grounding, and clear quartz for clearing and stuff like that. So there's lots of things you can do to, besides the guided meditations, to help learn how to ground, clear, and protect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Epsom salts best. I learned that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working
a
lot or if I'm working with a particularly draining client, Epsom salts, that's what I do. Because I'm a water sign too, I'm Pisces. I have no boundaries.
I know. You know what I find? It's like there's the water people, and then there's the walk in the woods people, then there's the exercise people. So usually, you know, hopefully, you know, empaths sort of find on their own what kind of works for them. And doing all of that stuff with intention makes it more powerful.
And that's very important. You know, my fiance and I will walk by the water, you know, too, just to clear the energy. And it seems like that works for a lot of people, too. I like walking in the woods. You know, I never heard about sitting on the rock. That's interesting. I'll have to try that.
Try sitting on a rock. Try hugging a tree. If you're a tree person or a rock person, then that stuff can be really... nature in general, because I think cities are really difficult for empaths, and I have like a whole set of empaths that live in Manhattan.
Really?
That I just, oh yeah, and they call me, like I got with one of them, and then that one told her friends, and now I have this whole little client base of Manhattan empaths, you know, New York City empaths, and they're really special, like crowded cities are so hard for empaths because there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go where there isn't just like totally jacked up other people's energy 24/7 for the past 200 years. You know?
Wow.
And even Central Park, like, you know, you and I could go out into the woods and around where we live, and it's very neutral, energy neutral or energy positive in nature. There's no chaotic human energy kind of pulling on you. So you can relax, you can let go, you can ground, you can clear, because there's space to clear into. You know, there's empty space to dump your stuff into. But in a place like Manhattan, there's no empty space. There's no psychic, like, all the psychic space is filled to the max. You know,
wow.
So I think people that are in really crowded cities have a harder time.
Yeah, I find it's so funny you mention that because I can't go. I went to New York City once, and I vowed to myself that I'd never go again. I just couldn't deal with it. I was ready to... slit my wrist or something. I wouldn't do that, but you know what I mean. It was like, oh my God.
It's a tough place Manhattan's particularly has this density to it, but any really crowded city will feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or going by Ground Zero, I made sure my friend didn't
take
Lordy. Me down there either. Yeah.
Yeah,
because
you
don't want to pick that up. And it's like people, you know, who are not empathic don't get that. You know, they're like, oh, you're crazy. Why wouldn't you want to go to New York? Because I don't want to go there.
I know, and empaths are very sensitive to their physical environments. So, you know, when I was little, I used to be really tuned in to other people's houses, and I used to hate sleepovers because I would go into people's houses, and, I mean, I'm a psychic, too, and I mean, all empaths are psychic, but I'm a visual psychic. So I would see stuff, and I'd be like, oh, God, you know, that place is haunted. I don't want to go there. But really what bothered me was feeling, like, weird energy. I remember going, like, and I grew up in a town, you know, with a lot of old houses in it, and going into somebody's house and being like, what happened here? What happened here? And it was just the residual, somebody suicided there, you know, like a long time ago. But the residual energy of that is, really something that empaths just tune into. So we tune in right away, whether it's not just people, it's places feel good or don't feel good to us right away.
Yeah, when we were looking at houses 3 or 4 years ago, there was a house that a realtor took us to. And this guy, I went up to a certain room and he had committed suicide and his name was John. And this guy was so angry, and, you know, we just, like, flew out of there. Even my fiancé, he's not really, you know, into this stuff, and he's like, man, the house is haunted. And my realtor's like, what is going on here? You got to tell, you know, you've got to feel the house. But, yeah, it's creepy. It's like when I grew up, too, I knew with houses, I would walk by a house, and I would feel like, oh, this house is not good. You know, it's awful. You know, you just
know. You do.
Growing up and everything. And, it's amazing. It really is. But, and there's other things. I don't know how people could survive in Manhattan. I'm still up, you know, that totally blows my mind that you have clients.
Yeah. I have so many. There's so many that, and they live there for other reasons. They love you know, some they love the culture, or they have a job there, or there's some aspect that they totally dig, but, you know, it can be really dicey for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so someone is determining their empath and everything. What else can they do to help themselves besides self-care? Is there anything else they need to do? Because, I mean, there's so many things that I've learned through, you know, tree hugging. I've done that. I mean, I'm not embarrassed to say that. It actually helps. You talk about the golden hoop. What is that?
Oh, it's a great meditation. So sort of a visualization, you know. I think I'm a visual psychic, so I find that visualizations work for me really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you just imagine like a hoop, like a hula hoop made out of gold with a really fine mesh net in the middle of the hoop. You imagine that over your head, and you draw the hoop using your breath and your imagination down over you. And everywhere that hoop is going, picks up whatever goo you picked up along the way and washes it. You go all the way through you, and then you sink that thing into the ground.
Wow.
And it's really, that's a great quick, especially if you do it with breathing. Like if you sort of take a really deep inhale and you push your breath into the ground on the exhale and release with that exhale breath a couple of times while you're imagining the hoop going over you, it's a kind of quick, cool way to, that's like your mid-Walmart, technique, because it's not like you can stop in the middle of Walmart and be like, I'm going to close my eyes and do a guided, meditation with my headphones because it's got all jammed up. Like, you know, we can't do that. So sometimes we have to have quick, 30-second, 15-second techniques to help us unload our, the stuff we pick up. So that's a good one.
Yeah, and you talk about the flush, too, which I learned a long time ago. You want to explain that a little bit?
The flush is like a kind of a breath thing, too. So like the hoop, and it's really important to understand this energy concept of the grounding cord. So the grounding cord connects us to the earth, and it's like if you imagine that your spine was elongating and going right in, your tree root was coming out of your spine and going into the center of the earth, that cord, the grounding cord, connects us to the planetary energy and kind of keeps us on the planet. And the flush is, again, taking a deep breath in the top of your head, filling your whole body with light, and flushing down the grounding cord any residual energy you have, any emotions of your own that you don't want to get rid of, because not only do empaths feel other people's emotions, but they tend to be quite emotional themselves. So they have big emotional energy on their own, So other people's emotions, your emotions, go down the cord on your exhale breath, and you fill yourself with light on the inhale breath, replacing your lost energy and sort of fluffing up your energy field a little bit as you do that breathing. It's super effective.
Hmm. That is really cool. I like this in the shower. That's what I would imagine it going down the drain.
That's sort of another, you can actually do that in the shower, which is very effective, or you can even imagine, sometimes I have people imagine they're standing under the shower, standing under a waterfall, and the water's cascading over them and flushing that way. So there's lots of, that kind of imagery or visualization techniques really work.
Yeah, they do. Well, I live by Niagara Falls, so I'll just pretend I'm under Niagara Falls.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, you never know.
That's a pretty powerful flush.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Believe me, I'm sure, So let's talk a little bit about you. You're going to be taking calls. I will be taking calls, and I'm going to give the numbers out, Lisa.
Sure.
And the numbers are 1-888-627-6008, and that's within the U.S. and Canada. Outside the U.S. and Canada is 530-413-5011. Or 530-413-7600. So, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about you for a moment. You've been a psychic since you were 19. What is that like? Were you always
working as a psychic since
working,
19.
Okay.
I've been a psychic way before that. So I was one of those, I see dead people kids, I've been psychic for as long as I can remember. My earliest memory, even as a baby, was like this crazy psychic stuff that happened to me. So I've really been psychic my whole life. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s when that wasn't that cool, and now it's kind of hip. get some 3 points for being psychic. But back then, it was like totally like you had to, you know, not tell anybody. They had a place they took you if you saw if you talked to dead people or saw angels or something. So we had to be quiet about it. And I spent a lot of my childhood in early 20s learning how to turn that stuff off, you know, so I could have a normal life. And I got some really good training. And then I started working when I was 19, seeing clients and doing psychic readings, and did that for a long time. And now I teach. You know, I still see private clients, and I do a lot of phone and Skype sessions as well as in-person sessions. But now I teach people. I teach people because I had to go through a school of hard knocks, and I'd really rather you didn't have to do that. You know, so that's my story.
As a psychic reader, people, I see dead people, they're like, no, we're going to put you in the insane asylum.
Yeah, we have a place for you.
Yeah, we have a place for you. It's a padded room.
I always say that there's only a few letters difference between psychic and psychotic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I always joke that I'm a psychotic psychic, you know. Yeah. People are like, really? You know. As long as you have a sense of humor about it, I think you're okay. But yeah, definitely. So, So, tell us a little bit more about the energy healing. How did you get into it? And were you working as a psychic first, and then into the energy healing?
Yeah, I was working as a psychic first, and I started doing that, like I said, when I was 19. And eventually, as a psychic, deliver the news, but I couldn't do much about it, you know? So I really, at that point, you know, wanted to study counseling, and that's when I did the psychosynthesis and program and learned some counseling techniques. So if I had to, you know, say something in a psychic reading that upset somebody, then I had some tools to kind of handle, you know, do some healing on them too. And I added that dimension, and then about 15 years ago, I really became interested in energy work, and I learned Reiki. I've been a Reiki master for 15 years, and I've trained hundreds and hundreds of people Reiki. In fact, I'm teaching Reiki. I'm teaching Reiki tonight. And I love Reiki. Reiki is a great entry-level technique into energy medicine, and I think that I really highly recommend that all empaths learn Reiki. Because it tends to strengthen your energy field. It gives you a lot of those breathing and, you know, grounding techniques that we already talked about. And it also gives, you know, since we talked about empaths being healers and helpers, it gives them a method to do that. So I think it's a fabulous tool for empaths to add to their toolkit. And then about 8 years ago, I met my business partner, Reese Thomas, and he studied, in Barbara Brennan's lineage, this kind of healing called full-spectrum healing. And we just hit it off right away, and, really, we have the same background, so we were both martial artists and for a long time, and, he said, do you want to teach in this energy school with me? And I was like, sure, you know? And that was 8 years ago, so we just finished our seventh year of teaching. We're going into our eighth year of teaching, and we have at any given time about 150 students in our school. And I really, really, really love the Energy Medicine School because it's very deep transformational work. So, we teach some really fabulous techniques, but really the difference that I think we offer in our school is that we teach healers to be fully present, to work through their own stuff. We do a lot of process work in the school, a lot of transformational work, to kind of clear, psychics call it clearing the channel, so to clear your own stuff out of the way so you can show up fully present for your clients. That's something that you don't learn in a technique-based school. Like, I know a million energy healing techniques. I've pretty much learned them all over the years, but not that many of those programs teach presence, you know, how do you stay grounded with your heart open in the middle of somebody else's pain or crisis? So that's what we do. Very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. As an energy healer, you have to work through your own stuff in order to be present and help. Yeah. And I think that's very important. And people say, you know, I have an energy healer I work with, and every month I'm there on her table, clearing stuff.
Good for
and
you.
No, and
yeah,
I
that's really good.
Well, that's, you need to do that because you're right. You need to clear your channel because how can you help people if you don't clear your own channel out?
I know. And it's part of a good self-care routine, you know?
Yeah, and people don't understand. I had a friend of mine say, well, you're an energy healer. Why would you go to another energy healer? I'm like, it's like a counselor going to a counselor. It's getting themselves checked out to make sure that they've got their issues in check, you know?
Right.
And I agree with that. It's, people don't get that. It's a lot of work being an energy healer, you know, in a psychic channel, and you got to keep up your own stuff here. It's a maintenance program. I don't care what
anybody says. I know,
and
especially, you know, if you want to improve your skill, you know, I find that I'm always challenged in some way in my practice. So, like, my clients come into my office with my issue du jour, and I have to, you know, I'm always kind of dealing with that. And so it keeps me kind of fresh on top of my stuff, always growing, always changing and transforming, which I actually love and think that's really exciting. But even from an energetic perspective, like, you wouldn't drive your car without putting gas in it. Like, we know we got to put gas in the car. We don't expect the car to drive without gas.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow we expect ourselves to do that.
Yeah, and I don't. That's crazy. And there's always, I mean, don't you notice that a lot of empaths and energy healers come from very, very dysfunctional households?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a little theory about that.
Oh, tell us. Please, enlighten me.
Yeah.
Because,
okay.
Yes.
I have a theory about that. I have a couple of theories about that. And I think that it's an adaptive strategy that you learn when you're really, really little, like pre-verbal. So you're a baby, you're a little baby in the crib, and you come from a family that there's a lot of dysfunction or a lot of unpredictability, like an alcoholic family, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know whether you're going to get good mommy or bad mommy that day,
mm-hmm.
you know? You can use your empathy to kind of tune in to that stuff before you even know which way is up. You know, so empathy is a huge survival mechanism that the children learn to use to sort of feel out their environment and adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I think, you know, that's true. You also have to have the wiring for it. So I've seen, you know, like you could have a brother or sister that grows up in the same environment but isn't really an empath. So I think you have to have that combination of sort of a challenging environment plus the mission, life, your mission that comes sort of right from your soul about being a healer, helper, or caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's totally a functional, adaptive strategy to an unpredictable environment.
You know, I agree with that.
Another thing that's really hard. This is a tough one to get under your belt a bit, but I think that empathic children are targeted for abuse with more regularity than other kids, because if you were a predator and you were looking for a target, wouldn't you pick the kid that has the soft, squishy energy field?
Yes, that's true. I agree with that. Oh my God, I had an aha moment when you said that.
Uh huh. And I a lot of times some of the work I have to do with empaths is going over their trauma history, and I can see it in their energy field. I'm like, what happened to you, honey? You know, and they've got a story, and we have to, you know, something always happened, you know. So we have to work through the healing of that part, because I just think empaths get targeted for abuse more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sad. It breaks my heart to say that, but I just think it's true.
I agree with that because, you know, I like to share my own personal stuff. When I was a kid, I was targeted. You know, I was bullied and all that stuff, too. And I really feel that you're right. You know, it's like, yeah, and my mom would say to me, why does this always happen to you? Why are you always targeted? My God.
Yeah, because the people have like an unconscious energy read off your energy. So if you're a schoolyard bully and you're looking for somebody to pick on, are you going to go towards the kid that has an energy field like a tank?
No.
Or are you going to go towards the soft, squishy marshmallow sponge?
Yeah, you know, and that's true. And people just, and, you know, you talk to a lot of people, you're right. You'll talk to somebody, a client, and they'll say, you know, you can see in their energy field there's a lot of trauma, and they're like, okay, you want to go into that? And they don't want to go into that, but you have to walk through it to get to the other side of the healing.
That's right, yeah. And that's sort of what, in a way, like I know that comes full circle, because so often empaths that are wounded in their childhood then takes them on a healing journey of their own,
mm-hmm.
which they then translate into, well, I healed myself through that horrible thing, and now I'm going to help other people, same thing as me, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they had that same thing, and now I'm going to help them heal through what I did. And that can be kind of like what the drive, you know, the drive creates the drive to be healers inside of us.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. It's like you want to help them because you've gone through it. And
right.
I believe that's another side of empathy, isn't it? You're empathetic towards
yeah.
them
that's
as
right.
a person. And,
yeah.
And you know what they've been through, or you can relate to what they've been through. And I think that's what makes it or breaks it for me. You know, I see. Yeah. Like, yeah, I know. You had a relationship issue just like I did 10, 15 billion years ago, it feels like.
Right. Yep.
It's amazing. Yeah,
and
you really talk about you work on what was I going to say? My memory, I'm not that old, but you think I was. You talk about psychic self defense. What is that? Is that the techniques you're talking about, or you have CDs, or how? What is psychic self defense? I've heard about psychic defense and psychic, you know, what is that? Is that just protecting yourself from the bullies?
Yeah. It's just really all, yeah, exactly. It's like protecting ourselves against, I mean, I was a martial artist, so I used to teach a self-defense class, you know, actual self-defense.
Oh.
And I like that sort of term of, you know, feeling like you're able to defend yourself. It's sort of like, you know, psychic kung fu. And empaths and sensitives often feel invaded. You know, they feel invaded by people. They feel sometimes invaded by spirits or energies or the yucky goo at Walmart. So there's this kind of invasion feeling that happens. And I like the concept of psychic self-defense because it begins to create this idea that we don't have to be invaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be in charge of what crosses our field,
mm-hmm.
what comes into us energetically. And
mm-hmm.
so psychic self-defense are sort of a lot of the things we talked about. You know, the grounding, protecting, and shielding techniques that are useful in making a conscious effort to be more protected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at my guy to say, yeah, you need to do some more protection. Yeah. So, yeah, especially when I go to Walmart.
Uh-huh, yeah. And I think, like, we haven't talked about this much yet, but I really think that all empaths are psychic. Not all psychics are empathic, but all empaths are psychic. And at some point, you know, learning how to deal with whatever that means for you, whatever your psychic stuff
mm-hmm.
is really important. And then as you get more psychic and more sensitive, more aware, you need to up your level of protection a little bit because you've maybe outgrown what used to protect you before, you know? Do you find that too, like that empathy and psyche go hand in hand?
I definitely agree with that. I agree that sometimes, you know, and people don't realize I have a friend of mine that I'm working with right now. She's opening up psychically, and she's very empathic too. And I said, you know, we continue to become more sensitive and grow, and she just couldn't get that, you know. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you just keep growing. You get more sensitive. And, yeah, I agree with that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really get excited, too, about training psychics and helping them, you know, access their psychic ability and their
mm-hmm.
intuition and opening up to that world because it's really fun and cool. And if you, you know, don't have a good teacher or you're super empathic and haven't dealt with that, it can be a little scary. It can be a little intimidating or scary. Like,
mm-hmm.
usually empaths are like, I don't want to be more psychic. I want to be less, you know. And I love working with people where they turn that corner and say, you know, I'm feeling really strong, I'm feeling really protected, and bring it on. Like, let's open that up. That's
mm-hmm.
exciting for me.
It is, and it's a great thing to see people open up. And then she's already had some things. She's opening up. I said, honey, you're opening up. She's more clairsentient, though. And
mm-hmm.
she's feeling things more and sensing things. And I'm like, you're opening up. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Your energy field
yeah.
is just going.
So exciting.
It is exciting because then she can help. She really wants to help other people too. And she works actually as a, I think, OT, occupational therapist. Yeah, so, you know, she's right in the field where she's supposed to be. But, yeah, it's amazing. What else do you want to add about empaths? Anything else you want to bring out about empaths?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk a little bit about some sort of underrated empathic populations. So in the work that I do, and I'm actually writing a book on empathy right now, I have a whole chapter on my book, in my book called for empathic men. Because there are lots of men that are super empathic. And they often get overlooked and not talked about very much. And it's sort of like, you know, a little bit of a surprise that because most of the time we think of empaths as women, but there are just as many men. And I think they suffer worse than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as children, especially like women have, you know, children of my generation had a little more leeway in being emotional than men did. You know,
mm-hmm.
so a little girl who cries, you know, may get a little, you know, there, honey. But a little boy who cries, you know, can get the smackdown. And there are tons of empathic men that just suffer terribly in their childhood, not being allowed to be sensitive, to be feeling, have to shut that down. It's super painful for them. So I just want to put that, just a little shout out to all you empathic men out there and say, you know, that's a special, you know, that's special and it should be something that's okay and can be worked on and it's a beautiful gift. And the other thing I want to say about it is empathic children and teenagers. So
mm-hmm.
I think that children, there are more and more empaths coming into the world right now. So
mm-hmm.
when I was young, it was a bit more rare, you know. But I see a much higher frequency of people coming in, stronger, like more empathic kids. And so sometimes I work with parents around helping their empathic children and teens. So I have teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are like 19, 16, and 14. And they're always bringing me their empathic friends who are all like get beat up at school and called emo and, you know, really suffer hugely because the hormone spikes that we have in adolescence can really add a sort of challenging dimension to the empathic experience. And if you guys all think about what you were like as a teenager, you know, if you remember that pain, that having an empathic like edge to that can really kind of make that pain worse. So it's sort of a bigger deal. Like it's important to know how to train. Like, you know, I get excited when I work with parents of empathic children and I can teach them how to parent their children so they don't get quite as beat up, you know, squashed,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we did.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned about the men because I feel my fiance is very empathic and he just doesn't know how to deal with it. And he's kind of like, and then he thinks I'm like this mean person with having boundaries sometimes. like, no, honey,
right.
I'm protecting myself, okay?
I know. And you really had to work for those boundaries.
Yeah, really, and I'm still learning. Constant battle. Oh, I shouldn't say battle, but it is. And children, too. I love that you're working with both groups because, yeah, I think they are overlooked. Just because we're women doesn't mean we're empathic or any much.
Right.
I think men are much so. Yeah, I think. Yeah,
yeah
I think
it's like really
that.
Across the board. So there are lots of women that aren't empathic at all. And there, I'm sure you've met some of those, too. And
mm-hmm.
there's lots of men that really are, you know, and nobody talks about those poor men.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that because I think it's kind of important. So we could say.
Yeah. Well, this is your forum. We got 5 more minutes, so this is your time to bring it out because the more I think with this show, the more I educate people or we educate people out there, the better off they're going to be. That there's
well,
I want to
leave it on a high note then and just sort of remind people that that I think that there's incredible gifts in being an empath and not only the caretaking and the healing, you know, service providers work, which like I always think we came in as sort of the service wing in God's army here, you know, in the world. So we're here to help. And I think that empathy, I wrote an article on a blog article on my website once called How Empathy Can Save the World. Because if people were more empathic, there wouldn't be, if everybody on the planet was an empath, there'd be no wars. We wouldn't be hurting each other. You know, we wouldn't be trashing the planet, right? So cultivating empathy in your children and allowing ourselves to be empathic is like being a huge healing force on our planet. And instead, it makes me so sad in a way because I think so many empaths feel shamed and like there's something wrong with them when really, you know, literally we came here to save the planet.
Yeah, or, you know, you've been accused, you know, some people have told me, and I've experienced this, you're too sensitive.
Oh, yeah. That,
I don't know if you've heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Every empath will say that. They've been told they're too emotional, they're too sensitive, they should grow a thicker skin, they should grow up. You know, that they'll often feel like they don't fit in, you know, that they just are different from other people and they can't figure out why. You know, and that there's something wrong with them. And they're crazy. And I just so want to say that is not true.
No, it's not. It's actually, you're right, it's a gift. And I feel, you're right, if we had more empathic people, if everybody was empathic, then we wouldn't have these issues. And I've always felt that way, too. And, you know, people think, oh, you're crazy. Like, no, you're not. This is the way, you know, we were more sensitive to other people's needs. We wouldn't want to hurt our fellow, you know, man, you know, or destroy the planet or whatever. So, yeah, it's a gift.
Yeah. And I get really just like, you know, really charged up and excited about helping people understand that gift, you know, how to go from feeling like it's a curse to feeling like it's a gift.
And it is a gift, it really is. So is there anything else you want to add, Lisa, before we have to go?
Oh, I think that was it. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Where can people find you? Where
my
can,
your
website, yep.
My website is www.lisacampion.com, and it's C-A-M-P-I-O-N, just like champion without the H. And all of my phone numbers and appointments, you can actually book an appointment right online on my website, or send me an email or whatever you want to do, it's all on there. And there's on my page website, there's a lot of resources for empaths already there, so.
Great. Well, thank you so much. This was a delight. I'm glad we were able to talk about this and maybe help
me
educate
too.
People about.
And thank you
for
having
thank
me.
You.
Thank you for doing all the great work in the world you're doing too.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, everyone, next week is a pre-record. Great guy, Dr. Eric Pearl. Take care. Thank you, Lisa. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.